So what would it look like today if we were to revive the energy of the 17th century Quakerism? You know, Quakers had really felt that they had discovered Christianity as it was originally established by Jesus. That they hearkened back to the days of the apostles and their understanding of what it meant to be followers of Jesus. And that sense in which the Spirit was alive and at work among them. Their core beliefs and values were lived out in dramatic ways that bore witness to those beliefs. Beliefs and understandings that they could know God directly, absolutely directly. That there was radical equality for all people and all genders. That they were called to be peacemakers. That they spoke truth to power. And that they were living and speaking with honesty and integrity. And every one of those truths were lived out in a powerful testimony among their the people that were gathered around them in the country where they lived, in the cities and towns and countryside where they lived. And as we consider what it really means for us to be Quakers, to live with that kind of vitality, then really the first question that we ask ourselves is, do we put God at the center of life? Thomas Kelly said, "The life with God is the center of life, and all else is remodeled and integrated by it." I thought that was kind of interesting to think about, God remodeling and integrating the rest of our lives. That God is the center, and God remodels maybe us in our approach, the realities of life, whatever it is. But that's, I've been kind of, it was a little bit different angle of thinking about that, and I appreciated it. Because I really think that everything we do comes out of this center of life with God. It's the basis of being together. It's the basis of our gathering together in worship. It's the reason for our action, why we do the things we do, why we act the ways we do. It's also the basis of our activism, our sense in which we're called to bear this out in our community and how we're called to act and live that out. It's the way we face life with God accompanying us 24/7 through all of life, every moment and every day. It's how we position ourselves in relationship to life. It's that sense of being 24/7. You know, and it isn't just the spiritual parts of life that are centered in God, but all of it. The mundane, the practical, the secular parts, all decisions, both big decisions and little decisions, everything that we do. It is that sense of being accompanied 24/7. We know that God is with us 24/7. We know that God is always present. It's growing in a sense of awareness that God is there. Being aware of that accompaniment, that I'm not alone. I remember going on a personal retreat a number of years ago in which I really focused on God. I just spent time alone. It was by myself. I interacted, and it felt like everybody I ended up interacting with, because you're in public spaces, was a part of that God journey of that week. But the thing that was most powerful to me was how, as I left that, I had this physical sense that God was with me 24/7. That time apart really gave me that physical sense, and to really own that, to even think about it from time to time, to be conscious of, where are you, God? Are you with me? Have I shut the door? Or am I leaving the door open? Do I allow you to come? Do I notice? Do I pay attention? What do you say into this situation? How do you nudge me in this place? What do you have to say about this thing that seems like it wouldn't have anything to do with God? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out a better way to position myself in this situation. But maybe you do have something to say. And what would that be? And an invitation to listen. We invite the light to bring light into the shadows in our life, to show us all those places where we maybe have shoved furniture up against the wall and there's shadows, and to allow the light to penetrate all of those places, to show us the way to live with God. We reorient our lives from simply doing good to following God, to discerning which of the many things that are good in my life are really mine to do in the full power of God. Because I think we can recognize that doing good things sometimes derails us from the greater good of God's purposes. And so we turn at any moment and many times a day asking God, what am I to do now? What is mine to do? What is mine in this situation, in this particular place in my life? We even invite God into our play and into the intimacies of life, because our entire life is lived with God. You know, this is a countercultural way to live, particularly in our individualistic, me-first American society. Our culture teaches us that we should strive to do whatever makes me happy. It's all about me. But that's really a relentless pursuit that always leaves us wanting, always keeps us being driven to find more of what will make me happy. Jesus said, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. The second question I want us to consider is, do we model a radically faithful society that is in the world, but not of the world? Again, looking at the words of Jesus, both of these passages are from the Message Bible. Jesus said, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. A city where light can be seen as you drive down the highway towards the city, recognizing that there is a city there that will have services, that will have a gas station and a restaurant and whatever it is that you might need. If early Quakers really saw themselves as primitive, as reviving primitive Christianity for all people, and saw themselves as a light to the nations, no wonder they were very public. They were called to the transformation of people, to the transformation of society, to the transformation of everything around them. Today, how do we let our light shine forth in ways that impact all of society? You know, it said, God is not a secret to be kept. Well, I think the same thing is true of Quakers. We aren't a secret society that meets in a hidden location, away from where nobody can find us so that we can do our own thing. One way that we interact in the world is through our economic systems and finances. Yet it's really easy to get caught up in the world messages of not enough. We slip into worry and preoccupation about this rather easily. Again, we read in Matthew 6 the words of Jesus who said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is the worship of wealth and of personal accumulation and power. To serve this god of mammon is to be controlled by it with an insatiable thirst for more. And the truth is that mammon has a poor cousin. The poor cousin's name is worry and fret. I don't have enough. But there's still that same sense of being driven for more. And we are called to live counterculturally in this upside-down world of the kingdom of God as mammon busters, breaking the power of mammon over us. As we commit to living faithfully and asking God to show us the way, and trusting all the time that we are enough. Yes, we are in the world. We use money and banks and the like. We buy groceries. We buy clothing. We participate in that sense. But we follow God, choosing to trust the journey rather than to be driven for more in that insatiable need that then controls us from outside. It's how we do our spending plan at North Seattle Friends every year, including having a faithfulness gap. God, this is what we can bring in all faithfulness. This is who we are. This is the truth of who we are, the raw truth. And this is what we thought we were called to. So, that's kind of your deal to make them meet, to make them fit, or to provide in some other way how it is that we're going to do life. We're not going to deny the truth and say, oh yeah, that it'll be paid. We can just, you know, ramp up the spending plan to be kind of the dream plan. And it'll just get paid in a sense of denial. No, we're telling the truth about who we are. And I think we get to do that as individuals as well. We tell the truth about who we are with this radical faithfulness and trust that it's God and what we're called to do. And we invite God into this journey as we listen and discern together how it is that we're to go forward and take next steps. And so we ask, are we radically faithful in face of the world systems around us? There are lots of world systems around us. Lots of ways in which the world gives us a message. And are we radically faithful to follow God in the face of those world systems? Do we choose the third way when it presents itself? And do we live our lives out loud so that the light can shine forth? The third question I want us to consider is, do we form faithful communities that worship together in love, trust, patience, joy, and humility? Early Quakers We're really a community of people that heard a divine call to come together. And they became a covenant community, bound to spirit and bound to each other. In fact, it was against the law for early Quakers to meet for worship outside the state church. But they did so anyway, believing that it was their radical faithfulness to a world system that said only this church is the qualified church or the acceptable church. That radical commitment to gather in faith communities. As they met for worship when it was against the law, they made a rest easy, choosing not to be hidden away, choosing not to hide their light under a lid. Even when the adults were arrested, the children continued to meet for worship on a Sunday morning. Being a covenant community really meant being there for each other, to the point that when the parents were arrested, the meeting cared for the children and for the businesses. Maybe it was a farm that needed tending. Maybe it was a store that needed tending. If they were gathered by God, then they had spiritual and temporal obligations to and for each other. The truth is that we also have a sense that we've been brought together, not necessarily of our own volition. We have not come here just because our best friends are here, or because the style of worship is so wow that it draws the crowds. We're here instead to listen to God in community, believing that God is speaking to us as we gather, and that we can empower one another to live out God's call to us, that we have spirit work to do together, work that is enhanced by the community, work that says, maybe I do the literal task I am given apart from here, in a different place, and yet I need to be tethered to something bigger than me. I need to have purpose that makes me know I'm part of something grander than just this little thing. Somehow the community gives meaning to the way in which God works through me and empowers me to live out God in my world. We here at North Seattle are a commuter community of Christ-centered Quakers. So it's going to look really different than it did in 17th century England when we lived in a rural community, likely within close proximity to each other. And so we have our own call, our own way of being in the world. But we are still a covenant community. And we listen together and ask, how is this to be lived out and fleshed out? What does this look for us today? How is it that we're to be a covenant community and hold one another and empower one another to go forth to do that which God is calling us to do either jointly or individually, and yet knowing that we all go, even when it's an individual pursuit. We're a covenant community that stays together through good and bad, through hard times as well as good times, through agreement and disagreement. You know, the truth is we don't all have to agree, but we stay together in sturdy trust on God, finding way forward as we wait together, as we continue to listen. The really amazing thing about North Seattle Friends Church is that it is a place that I find is really and with faithfulness and integrity trying to live out primitive Quakerism and primitive Christianity. God is at the center of our being and at the center of our church. It's that God is at the center of everything we do. And we do model a radically faithful society that is in the world, but not of the world. We live counterculturally. And we are a faithful community that worships together in love and trust and patience and joy and humility. I am proud of who we've become. And yet I challenge us to listen for next steps, to live that life out loud, to allow our light to shine forth. It's a three-part dance, centered through stillness, in spirit gathered. Do we dare reflect the light? Friends, a people called to listen, gathered to seek, and sent forth to serve. Let us wait in open worship, listening to God, who is speaking and has spoken. May we bear witness to those messages that God brings to us directly. Let us listen.